That was awesome. I love that song. That was written by John Lennon. I think he was a New Thought student. I truly believe he was a New Thought student. Well, I already prayed, but I just want to center myself before I go into my talk. So just let me quiet myself down, and if you don't mind, let me allow my human to decrease as the Spirit comes forth. And I acknowledge and affirm right now that it is the Holy Spirit that brings forth this message, that it is the Holy Spirit that synthesizes the spiritual meaning of the message within each and every one of us, and that that is the Holy Spirit that allows us and guides us in walking in this message throughout our life. Thank you, God. Amen. The title of my talk, as you saw, is Peace, Be Still. And I want to open up with the scriptures that I'm going to be using. I'm going to use scripture from Mark. It's chapter 4, verses 35 through 40, and that's when Jesus is calming the storm. And then after that, I'm going to read Psalm 46, verse 10. We're going to merge those two together. So, Mark 4, verse 35 through 40 goes. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with him in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?'" Now let's go down to Psalm 41:10, which reads, is easy. "Be still and know," what? "That I am God." Now this is very powerful because as God was working with me, I asked, what is the real true meaning of wisdom? And the meaning came to me that knowledge is knowing the unity principles that we go through unity, right? There are five unity principles, and we live by them, right? We live them, we practice them, we teach them, we become them, right? But wisdom is intuitively knowing when to use the principles in your life. And so in this story where Jesus is asleep and peaceful, and the disciples are all upset because there's a storm going on and the boat's being filled with water, there's two things going on here. The first thing that's going on is that there is fear within the disciples. And that fear represents those moments in our life when we are going through things of our own. And we know the unity principles, but there are those moments where we get caught up in how it looks. And when we get caught up in how it looks, we become afraid and nervous. And we know Jesus is our way sure, and we know the way to work through it. But there, though that experience, that situation gets so powerful and we get so caught up in it that it scares us. And temporarily, we forget those unity principles. And even if the principles come up in those moments, we're not intuitively guided to know which ones to use in that specific moment. And so we feel lost. And so we call on other people. And sometimes other people don't have the answer. And we forget that we have to go within. When the disciples came and woke up Jesus, in that moment, Jesus was sleeping. That is an experience of how we are when we know when to use the unity principles. Jesus knew the storm was going on, but Jesus knew that Jesus was one, the first unity principle. I am one Because, well, this first unity principle is God, there's only one power and presence active in our life and in the universe. And the second one is I am one with that power and that presence. Jesus knew that, and Jesus knew that he had the power to have dominion over the storm. And he knew in that peace that the storm was not going to bother him because he knew that he was one with God. In those moments when we have fear going on in our life, there's two things that happen. Either we are at peace and guided because we know that we are one, or we get caught up in the fear of it, caught up in the evidence, the false evidence appearing real. Now, this is the thing. Look at your life right now. In a situation of your life right now, what's going on? And what thoughts have you been thinking in your life? And what's been going on in your mind? In those moments that those thoughts that have come up that are unaligned with truth, what happens is emotions start to rise up that are the turmoil. They're like the storm. That's what the storm represents. The storm represents emotion, the terrible, fearful emotion that's going on. And fear represents false evidence appearing real. I like to believe, and this is what I say, not only is fear the false, it is the false evidence appearing real, but the emotions that come up are the symptoms of error thinking. False evidence appearing real is being caught up in the third dimensional beliefs of limitation and separation. That there's something separate. Because we're caught up in what's going on, we're separate from God. In that moment, our consciousness goes into what's going on inside of us, whether it's an illness, whether it's financial, whether it's a relationship with someone else, whether it's something going on with our children, whether it's a job issue, whether a car breaks down, whatever is going on in your life, in that moment, whatever's connected to that thought, the emotions are either peaceful or they're trauma, they're turmoil and storm, like a storm brewing up inside of you. And Jesus tells us what to do in this story. When we have those moments of fear, they come up because we temporarily forget that we walk in faith. We temporarily forget that we are one with God. We temporarily forget that we are co-creating through thoughts held in mind. And we know thoughts held in mind what? Produce after their kind, right? And so we temporarily forget that it feels the way it feels because we're co-creating that feeling with the thoughts that we're holding in mind in that moment. We temporarily forget that not only are we co-creating with God, our life, the experience that we have in our life, we temporarily forget that we can change it. We can change how we're experiencing that. Jesus tells us how. He says, peace, be still. Now, when he is reprimanding or rebuking the storm, the winds that are blowing, in that moment, he's reprimanding. He's acknowledging where there is unalignment. And that's the first thing we do, is acknowledge, where am I right now? Be peaceful. Move yourself out of the thoughts that are going on in that moment that are connected to the situation. And move past those thoughts that are connected to the situation and look at the truth of the situation. The moment you look at the truth of the situation, you have moved into co-creating with God that truth. The thoughts dissipate. Another way of saying it is through the fourth unity principle, which is using denials and affirmations, right? So we deny the power that those thoughts may have over us. And we acknowledge the truth. I am feeling fearful right now because I don't have the money. It seems like I don't have the money to pay for my car repairs Or I am feeling fearful right now because it seems like there's not a job out there that matches my skill and me. Or I'm nervous right now because my child is making a choice that I don't think is the right choice for him or her. Or I'm fearful right now because I just got a diagnosis, which is what I'm experiencing. And I'm not experiencing it in fear, but I did temporarily, that someone close to me was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I love her so much. And it runs in my family. And that's a fear that can be hard to shake, especially when it's someone who's really close to you. I'm nervous that my sister has breast cancer. Acknowledging the feeling of it and then telling it the truth. I am nervous that my sister has breast cancer, but I know that she is perfect, whole, and complete. I acknowledge the divine presence within her right now, activating every cell in their body to express divine health. I may be nervous because there's no job out there, but I know God created me with a purpose. And because God created me with a purpose, there is a job there. I may not see it, but there is a job there. And I walk according to God in that job. Now, those are the thoughts that we say when we say peace, because peace means hush. The literal Greek translation of peace is hush, or shut up, however you want to say it. And then you move into being still. He said, be still. Be still. You move into sitting still. See in the present. Bring yourself to the present and go within. When we did the meditation, I said, go into your heart center. In this solar plexus area, we know is where the wisdom faculty sits. It's in the back of the stomach, in the pit of the stomach. There's a group of cells there, nerves there, that awaken when we tap into that area within ourselves. You can look it up. When we are conceived, we are clumped into two groups of cells. The first, and is connected through the vagus nerve, goes down the spine. The first clump turns into the brain. The second turns into what they call the gut brain. The gut brain, yeah. It's also your gut sense. I should have followed my gut. I should have followed my first mind. That's in the solar plexus, right in the back of the gut. It really truly is an area there. And when you have a headache, you may notice you have an upset stomach. Or you have an upset stomach, you may notice you have a headache. Sometimes it may be hard to eat because you are going through something in your head. You're thinking, it's connected. And when we move and be still, you move into your center of your solar plexus. That's your wisdom. But as I was meditating this week and realized that wisdom is the intuitive knowing of which spiritual principle to use, which area of truth to use, which affirmation to use, I realized that it comes from meditating. You have to activate your intuitive gifts. And we know it's through prayer and meditation. Right? How many people meditate daily? I had a feeling it was going to be that way because we're in unity. When you meditate, do you realize you're creating a relationship with God? It's a sacred relationship with God. And do you have moments when you're going through like, wait a minute, I must not have meditated today because I don't feel aligned. I don't feel at peace. Those moments that you don't feel aligned and at peace, you haven't connected with your source. It's like having your wife, your husband, your fiance, your sweetheart in your life, and you used to see them all the time, and then maybe a day or two go by and you miss them. That's how it is when you have a deep relationship with God, right? You miss it. You feel turmoil. And we know that when we connect, it's the most powerful expression you can be. When I don't wake up and connect with God first and get out of bed, I feel like I got off the wrong side. I just feel like I got started on the wrong foot. And things tend to go wrong. And so I have to go, even if I just step in the bathroom for a minute or stop for a minute, go stick in a corner and whatever. I have to realign. I have to connect with the lover of my soul. Because when you connect, you tap into love. And love is the unifying power that binds us all to everything. And when you're bound to God, you feel peace. Now, when we connect that to the second scripture, be still and know. There are two, the be still part is in both scriptures. So God had me combine them. Peace, be still, and know. Why is the be still there? Because it is only in the stillness that you hear the still small voice. It's only when you tap into that center of yourself that you hear it, when you're quiet. If you're moving around and caught up in the world, you cannot feel the infinite spiritual unity of that still small voice. You cannot be guided by it. Now, I've had experiences my girlfriend, for instance. She and I talk about meditating, praying, all that. As a matter of fact, through our divorces a couple years ago, we moved into practicing these principles and being with God. And we actually created, when we looked at everything we were doing to get through our divorces, we realized that we had move through these principles that created an acronym called ACRE. And at first, the A stood for being accessible and available to God. And the C is continually communicating with God, having that communication with God. And the R was having that relationship with God, being with God, spending time with God, having a date with God, all the time having a relationship with God. We talk to God all day long. And the E, we said at first was expectation. And we shifted to expecting infinite expression of God. And then we took that and we started teaching a class on it. And we were like, you know what, we'll just start off with a small group of people first and see how that goes. This was back in 2002. And we still have this group of ladies, we call ourselves the Acre Girls, who connect together all the time. And we come together at least once a year. Now we're going to try to make it twice a year. And we always have some type of assignment for each other. And we always are sharing with each other where we are. And because of that experience of walking with her, and this woman is my twin, because we were born the same exact day, July 10th, 1968, but I was born at 3:00 in the afternoon and she was born at 10 in the evening. So I call her my baby sister. I'm the big sister. And you know the kicker? I'm the oldest in my family and she's the baby in her family. So I'm still the big sister and she's the baby sister. So I still sometimes boss her around. Even though we're the same age, I boss her around. So she called me last year. And she said, yeah, Michael was in a car accident. This is her oldest son, her oldest, who's her son. And she's walking up and she's like, the car is totaled. I'm like, what? She's just as peaceful as she can be, telling me, yeah, the car is totaled. Michael got out of it, but his friend ended up having to go to the hospital. They don't know how he's going to be or whatever. And I mean, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, do this, but I know it's going to work out. And the police officer's looking at her like, do you see this car? You are at peace. How can you be at peace? And she said, because I know as well. When you tap into that daily, when stuff happens, you're okay. You know, you're at peace, you be still, and you know. This is coming out, but I'm going to be still. I'm going to let it connect. wisdom. Now, when you tap into it that way, you open up your intuition. Wisdom is intuitively knowing because you're tapped into God all the time. A couple weeks ago, or might have been last week, There was a storm going on, and I was in Southfield picking up some pizza, right? And while I'm picking up the pizza, the power goes out. And everybody's freaking out. Now, I had made my order. Let me show you real quick what I did. I made my order, and I went, and I sat down, and I'm at peace. I'm just sitting there, you know, enjoy. The power goes out. And the guy who delivers had come in screaming, "Oh, my God, I saw the transformer go out. It's blue and green in the sky." And everybody goes storming out the door. And I'm just sitting there like, "Ooh, they acting all crazy now, this stuff." And then they come back in, and about 5 or 6 minutes later, the power comes back on. I'm still sitting here peaceful. I had already known all was well because I heard God tell me that because I was sitting at peace. Any moment that I have to wait or sit still or wait in line, I sit at peace. And then the lights went out a second time, and a couple of the customers who were there were like, "Oh my goodness, I'm not going to be able to have my peace." I'm still sitting there at peace. And they're like, "How are you still sitting there peaceful?" It's like, "Because I know." And then one of the customers is saying, "I know the power is going to go out again," and it did. So it went out 3 times. I'm still sitting there peaceful. So he's like, he's looking out the door. "Oh, God, I see it sparking again. It's about to go out again." I said, "Unless you tell it not to, unless you say it's not to." He's like, "Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense." By that time, it's the two of us sitting there because it was time in between the power being cut off. It was time for the other two customers to get their piece and leave. He gets it. He calms down and sits down 2 seats beside me. The power comes back on, and he's like, "You're right. I have to believe." So when you are in a state of peace, not only do you change who you are and co-create the peace within yourself and come into an acknowledgement of what you are led to do and what's going on in your life, you express it and express to other people. Okay, this is just coming out. I think I pulled it out, but we're gonna still be at peace. And I have a loud voice in case I have to talk a little louder. So, when we look at this scripture and we look at what's going on, we come to a realization that we are always one with God. I'm looking to see if I covered everything, and it looks like I did. See, that's God. I didn't even look at my thing. That's God. Mastering wisdom involves being at peace on a regular basis first. And then whatever goes on in your life, you're already there. It involves connecting on a regular basis with the lover of your soul. It involves praying and speaking. The Bible says to pray unceasingly. Do you know that your thoughts are prayers too? So you don't have to verbally. Is this coming? Yep. Okay. It's like when the lights flickered on and off. So, and I got ADHD, so I'm all over the place, which is a good thing. So, where was I? I was saying, thank you. See? Your thoughts are like prayers. There's these songs that says, "Our thoughts are prayers," and I can see this floating in the air. It looks like a little bug or something. "Our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers, take charge of what you say." When you realize that your thoughts are internal prayers, then you keep your thoughts aligned with God. You realize you're still co-creating with God. I'm co-creating with God. And in co-creating with God, you may not immediately change the situation. That's not the reason why we do this, to change our situation. The reason why we do this is to change our inner self, to realign with God, to walk in peace. We are spiritual beings governed by spiritual law, living a human experience. But there's something more powerful than that. We were made in God's image and likeness. So we're spiritual beings created to master spiritual law and create a spiritual experience as human beings. That's what we're created to do. So whatever we're going through in our life, when we remember that we are spiritual beings created to master spiritual law and experience a beautiful spiritual life in the human expression, you supersede anything human because that which was human was created by spirit. You tap into yourself as you're walking in your life. And any situation that comes up, you know that you can change it because you are one with it. I am one with God together. I am one with God. I am at peace together. I am at peace. I will be still together. I will be still. I know that God and I are one together. I know that God and I are one. When we master that, we become the total epitome of peace. Be still and know. Thank you.
All right, can I get an amen? Thank you, Kelly Cole.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
And I think I've learned something. So now, when I'm at the Tigers game, I just sit and just say, it's all going to be well. We're going to win. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's time now for us to prepare our love offering. So if you would. Yes, there it is. If you could say it with me together. Divine love
through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive. Thank you, God.